Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to AM Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, September 30th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564. If you prefer not to talk, join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
All right. Thank you very much, Michelle. Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. A great weekend of football going on. I hate that it's Sunday night. I have to get ready for another work week, but we have a lot to go over tonight in this show. All the games that we picked, we're going to analyze them a little bit. We're going to talk NFL, college football. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. The playoffs are heating up. And I just wanted to mention something to all the listeners and fans out there. Is we had over 63,000 listeners the Wednesday night show, and it was just tremendous. And I just want to thank everyone for coming out, supporting us, listening to the show, spreading the word. How's it going, Mr. Patterson?
What's happening, Brian? How you doing?
Well, doing wonderful, man. It's Sunday evening. A lot of great action this weekend in football. I didn't think it would be as good. A lot of big teams struggled, Trey, so we're going to talk a lot about that. Getting ready for next weekend's just showcase of football games, man. I think it's finally here where the football games are very, very important now.
Yeah, I mean, next weekend's going to be huge. But before we get into that, Tarvin, I know we always tell people to follow us on Twitter, hit us on Facebook, but one of the things that happened this week, Tarvin, that I think should sort of be talked about, we hit over 63,000 listeners, Tarvin. That's sort of we should all give you a round of applause. This has been you put together a fantastic show last week, and 63,000 listeners. I mean, that's something that I didn't expect us to get that number, Tarvin. So great job on you, man. And just thanks for all the listeners who are actually tuning in to us.
Yeah, and thank you, Trey, and thank all the guys that interviewed, and just a great show all around. I mean, the chat room was great, the callers were great, the interviews were great, and it goes to show, you keep working hard and trying to do a good job that it pays off. So everybody out there, follow us, but also tell your friends, family, and people to follow us, because we're going to do a good show for you guys every week, two times a week. We'll give it our all every week. We promise you that. So you won't be disappointed. Come in, have some fun with us, because we're having a blast doing this, aren't we, Trey?
Yeah, I mean, this really is kind of like I don't dread doing this at all. This is the absolute fun. We get to talk. It's like talking with your buddies. Each listener calls in. The more you guys call in, it's almost as if we're just chatting among friends. And even though, so I love the regulars who call in. Good, Tino, Sonia, Jason, Quinn, all these guys, and then more and more and more. Chris, I mean, Brandon, Corey. I mean, the list goes on and on, and just ready to talk some football with all of you guys.
Yeah, and Quinn, he's one of our most loyal listeners. I think he lives in Wisconsin. So Quinn follows our show. He spreads the word. Also, Jason Humphrey, Sonia Minson, Jason Minson, there's a lot of them. And we have to have the regulars in order to keep growing this show. So we really do appreciate it. We're not just saying that to say it. We talk about it all the time, how much we appreciate all of you. So it just makes it fun. It wouldn't be fun if me and Trey just sit here and talk to ourselves without the chat room and people calling in. So anyway, let's get started, Trey. Major League Baseball. Let's go ahead and hit that, if you don't mind, real quick.
Tarvin, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to tell you, man, I know we haven't talked a whole lot of baseball, but going into today's game, Tarvin, I talked to you off air. I mean, this has been the most incredible finish in the history of baseball. And if you're not a baseball fan, if you think baseball is boring, I mean, just the fact that there's no American League team as of right now who has really clear, at least going into today, I don't know if I think Baltimore and the Yankees may have clinched something today, but going into today with four games left, Harvin, not one single AL team has clinched a playoff berth. And that's crazy. Four games left, and not any of those spots are even, you know, were even captured by today. And even in NL, Harvin, the wild card's coming down, the second wild card, the Braves already have one, it's coming down to the wire as well. I mean, just it seems like each day another team is getting eliminated because it's so close and there's still so many teams vying for it. And the game right now, Harvin, if the Angels can come back and win, that's yet another storyline for us. But if the Rangers can win, it actually puts out, I think, the Angels out of playoff contention. So even the Sunday night baseball game, Harvin, a lot of storylines.
Yeah, let's hit the Braves a minute. Today, Chipper Jones played his last home game at Turner Field. I mean, what a career for Chipper Jones, Trey. One of the probably the most famous Atlanta Braves will go down of all time, one of them. I mean, Chris Medlin pitching today, I think that's 22 games in a row, if I'm not mistaken, that the Braves have won when he's pitched, whether it be his win or not, just the game that he started or pitched, they've won the game. So do you take the Braves serious? Now, I know in the postseason they've choked before, but with Chipper Jones retiring, Trey, do you take the Braves serious now?
Yeah, I think you have to, Darvin. I think you have to.
And looking at it, the Braves look like they're playing with purpose, and they clinched the wild card, but you look up, they're only three games out of first place, and there's not many more regular season games left. The Braves finish at Pittsburgh. But do you think there's a – what's the odds and probability of the Braves winning this division now?
Well, they'd have to basically win them all and the Nationals have to lose them all. I don't think that's going to happen, Carmen. But the Braves are this is just another team. I mean, there are so many teams that are just super hot right now. And the stat, actually, Chris Medlin's won. Braves won 23. Today was his 23rd win for the Braves on a Chris Medlin start. Yeah, I know we talked about this sort of ad nauseum, but, you know, he was the exact same situation that Strasburg was in,
yeah.
Carvin. And can you hear me, Carvin?
Yeah, I can hear you now. My chat room's down for just a second. We'll have to reboot, so keep up the chat room if you can for me. And just keep an eye on that for the next 15 minutes. Let me get this thing rebooted, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and just 23 straight, Medlin's 10-1. And right now, Farman, I mean, he's the guy who they actually set up to pitch the one game, you know, playoff game with, the wild card. I mean, so the Braves are putting all their cards in Chris Medlin, and, you know, Strasburg is not playing in the postseason. So I think that gives the Braves at least a leg up coming the postseason against the Nationals. I mean, obviously, Gio Gonzalez with his 21 wins is certainly going to be a pretty good pitcher in the postseason, as he's been all year. But I like the fact that the Braves have set up Chris Medlin the way they have.
So are the Braves going to use Chris Medlin and gain one of their wild cards just to see?
Yeah, he's set up to pitch the wild card game, which is a fantastic coaching, Carvin. I mean, think they've won 23 straight games with him. They're going to have so much confidence going into that game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and also they have more purpose. You know, they choked last year. And you know all those guys love Chipper, and they're going to try to send him off a winner. So I'm excited to see what they do. I know they'll be playing the Cardinals probably that first game. So who do you think the Cardinals will be throwing at them?
Yeah, I think the Cardinals, Kyle Loesch has certainly been their best pitcher all year. I mean, they have Adam Wainwright, Chris Carpenter's back. So we'll have to see. I haven't seen how their rotation is going to line up, but hopefully, as for the Braves, I mean, you got to think that Chris Medlin going into this game is going to be sure, with Chipper Jones and all that stuff. You'd like those odds.
Yeah, and I'm just excited about baseball. Like you said, the American League hasn't clinched yet. The Dodgers have been a huge disappointment, you know, with all that money they spent, Trey. I mean,
yeah,
it's just a huge disappointment to people. So I think it's anybody's game right now. I think anybody that's in playoff contention right now that's going to go can win this thing. The Giants, you have to like the Giants, Trey, a little bit with their pitching, the dominant pitching. It just seems like those guys know how to win when it comes to playoff time. So give me your pick right now, Trey, if you can. Or if it's too early, just let me know. Who's going to win the American League and the National League?
Well, the American League, Tarvin, I don't know that I can give you a pick. I mean, I thought the Angels would be hot down the stretch, and it looks like they're going to be, like the Dodgers, the most overpaid team watching. The Tigers, it looks like they are going to end up pulling it out. I like the Tigers in the postseason because of Verlander. But Texas has won the AL each time, and they're the defending pennant champion. So you got to give Texas the edge because of the experience. But the way the Orioles and, like, the A's, I mean, whichever team gets in, I mean, even the Rays, Tarvin, they're looking out right now, but they've won, I think, 10 of their last 11 or last of their last 12. So it depends on who gets in the American League, because there's so many teams that are playing for this spot that are just, you know, just super hot. So, you know, I'm not sure on the American League because we don't even know who's going to be in it. But I gotta, you know, I think you're right, Tarvin. The Giants and the NL, they look real good. But, you know, I think the Reds, it could be their year.
Man, the Reds just playing. I mean, they had a no-hitter a couple of days ago with Homer Bailey, correct?
Yeah, that was last night. Homer Bailey threw a no-hitter. And if you're getting, you know, Homer Bailey was one of those stories, high-round draft pick, hasn't had a lot of success. And then they used him this year, you know, brought him back up in the second half. And he's been, he's had an ERA of about 1.15 over his last, like, nine starts. And so when they're getting Homer Bailey-quality starts like that, and obviously no-nos, I mean, this bullpen, this actually rotation with, you know, Chapman at the end, and this may be the best pitching rotation, I think, outside of the Braves right now.
Yeah, the Reds are going to be a very scary team. I think if you look at it, the National League might be stronger than the American League in these playoffs. I mean, you have the Giants, which have known to play a good playoff, the Braves, the Nationals, best record in baseball, really, the Reds, how good they are. I mean, that's four great teams right there, if you think about it. They can really beat you on any given series. So, man, I'm excited. I know a lot of our football fans are probably like, hey, you know, let's talk some football. We will, but we have to talk some baseball because, you know, we all love baseball. We grew up playing baseball. But, you know, when the playoffs start, that's when we really, you know, we talk a little more baseball. We might even devote another show to baseball just to make sure we cover it all. So anything you want to touch in baseball before we move on?
No, I mean, we'll see. And you know, each night, I think by Wednesday on our show, Tarvin, we'll have all the playoffs, you know, matched up. So I think that'll be a good show for us to devote a little bit of time to baseball and talk about, you know, who got in. And, you know, this could be like last season where, you know, the last day of the last pitch of the actual regular season is so monumental, you know, with Longoria's home run and the Cardinals win on the last day. And it could be this kind of year as well.
So before we go, the playoffs start Friday, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the wild card game with the Braves and the Cardinals probably will be Friday, correct?
I think so, yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. Well, let's move on to what everybody wants to talk about the most. Let's start off in the NFL. I mean, not a surprising day, really. A good day. I watched the Panthers and the Falcons play. That was a great game. I was talking to you for a minute during the game. So, not a lot of upsets, but one thing that surprised me today, Trey, was Tannehill from Miami, the way he carved up Arizona's defense.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona, I mean, you got to think, this is the team that kept Tom Brady in check. And then to have Ryan Tannehill, he was 1 yard shy of Cam Newton's all-time rookie yards record, 1 yard shy. I mean, Tannehill put up a clinic, and, you know, you and I were as hard on anybody, you know, or anybody in the history that you and I basically just given hate on was Ryan Tannehill. Both of us thought it was a terrible pick. Well, Tarvin, I mean, he's had his struggles for sure, but, you know, he's definitely not looking like a rookie who's out of place. I mean, he's holding his own, and, you know, you got to think that right now the Miami Dolphins are looking pretty good at draft again because, I mean, obviously he's looking like a quarterback who can play in this league, Tarvin.
Yeah, I mean, I should have known that, you know, we have our opinions, but we were a little hard on the guy. The Dolphins, obviously, before they spent millions of dollars on somebody, they had to have known something that people weren't seeing or something. So, I mean, he looked good. And Arizona's defense, where it's not a great defense, but it's played great this year so far. They still won the game. And if I believe, is Arizona undefeated right now?
You know, if you're an Arizona fan, 4-0, I mean, this is monumental. I mean, you know, they need to start booking playoff tickets because this is looking like a team that's got a little bit of destiny attached to them.
Yeah, and I mean, you think, I mean, they didn't even really have a quarterback when the season started, Trey. Really, anyone, I mean, it was almost a joke And then all of a sudden these guys come in and they're 4-0. It's just unbelievable to see them play like this. I'm impressed with them, you know, especially their defensive play and especially not having a quarterback. But, you know, they won. They're 4-0. The Dolphins looked, you know, they look good at times and they look bad at times. But let's touch on the Falcons game, man. We have to start here because there's something I want to talk to the listeners about and you, and we've already discussed it. Carolina had the ball at about the 45-yard line of Atlanta with a minute and change left. Atlanta had no timeouts. Carolina was up by a point or two. I think it was one or two. But Carolina punted the ball, Trey, instead of doing a sneak with Cam Newton, a 6'6", 250 quarterback. I disagreed with the call to punt the ball because then you put your hopes on Carolina's defense. And I know it was only a minute left, minutes of change, but still, Carolina's defense is not the best in the world. So tell them your opinion, Trey, what you think. Do you think they should have punted and made the right decision?
Yeah, I know you were more of a gambler in this thing. I was watching the game as well. That's part of my Red Zone NFL package. Come on, DirecTV, show us some love. And, Tarvin, I haven't watched Cam Newton fumble the play before. He had the first down. He fumbled it. You know, at first it looked like it was going to be a foot, and I think they were going to go. But when it became a full yard and a yard plus, I think that became the issue. And they had been getting penetration on a couple of plays before the Falcons' D-line had. And I think if you gave up the ball there, if you were unsuccessful, then you basically have easily given up the game because the Falcons were on the 50. They needed just a few yards to get a field goal. So statistically, Tarvin, I liked the call. Obviously, the defense giving up that huge pass to Roddy White was atrocious. But especially when, you know, your quarterback just fumbled the ball when he had the game was in his hands on third down, Tarvin, and he let it go. He didn't have two hands on the ball. He ran with it. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that as a coach, you're like, well, I can't have this happen again. You know, let's punt the ball, let my defense play. I mean, they pinned him, Tarvin. I mean, they didn't just punt the ball. They pinned him inside their own one. So, you know, you had to be feeling really good as a Panther fan at that moment.
But you see it. You know, they're inside their one. That makes you think more, you know, hey, dude, let's play deep. Let's not let anybody behind us. Roddy White streaks down the field wide open and catches the ball, almost puts him in field goal range there. But Brian Snow from ISNet America, I was on his show last week as a guest. He came on. He says, you have a great quarterback in Cam Newton. You should gamble with that. And I think your odds of getting a football length is a lot greater with a quarterback like that than punting the ball and counting on your defense has let you down so many times. So, I mean, either way, but if the coach would have gone for it right there and not gotten it, he'd probably be fired today. So that's a tough decision to be in. I didn't like it. Let's see what people in the chat room think. Tino said he doesn't care where you watch the game, Trey. He doesn't care what network.
Yeah, I know. You know, but you do. I mean, you do, Tino. You really do care.
I'm kind of wondering if Trey and DirecTV have some kind of deal going on behind my back here that I don't know about.
I'm trying to get one, Tarvin.
Well, we have a lot of people in the chat room tonight. Let's just name a few real quick. Brandon Solomon up at the top because he's the most important. Corey Bird, Ricketts, Crimson Island. I wonder if that's an Alabama fan. We have a few guests. ISNet America, Jason Humphrey, Jasper Dickens, Justin Hawk, Corey Johnson, Michael Hawk, Sonia Mencentino, Blackstone, and Trey Patterson. So keep coming, guys. Let's have some great discussions tonight. But, you know, I picked Carolina to win this game, Trey, and I really thought they were going to win because of the Falcons. You know, the Falcons will be the Falcons. They will choke at times. And I thought today was a perfect time with the Carolina playing as bad as they did last Thursday night against the Giants to come out. Carolina played well. Their defense played aggressive. They beat the crap out of Matty Ice. But, you know, the defense let them down at the end. But really it's not the defense's fault. It's Cam Newton's fault for fumbling that ball like that. The first down would have been made, correct, Trey? If he hadn't fumbled the ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it would have been over. So Cam Newton, you know, you turned the ball over. You had a great game before that. You fumbled again, but you recovered it. So Cam's got to protect it. He's got to protect it better, especially in the fourth quarter. But the Falcons, they don't impress me at all. So I'm not very impressed with them this year. Carolina's a better team looking at that game.
Carla, let me ask you this. I mean, I told you this stat earlier. I mean, going into this weekend's game, Cam Newton had the lowest passer rating of the 5 second-year starting quarterbacks, and that's including Jake Locker, Gabbert Ponder, and Andy Dalton. Let me ask you this, Carmen. I mean, I know that Cam Newton has put up impressive stats, but what does that stat mean to you overall in the Cam Newton debate of, you know, in this whole 5 guys in the second year, who's going to be a star and who isn't? What do you think about Cam Newton's performance up to this point?
I think Cam Newton's performance this year is a little lower than I think what people expected, and especially I expected. I thought he would, you know, the Carolina, he would make them better enough to at least win this division, but I don't see that Carolina got too much better since last year, and I think Cam Newton's going to have to learn to rely on his teammates to help him win games instead of trying to do everything himself. He's getting a little better at that. But, you know, Carolina's disappointing. They're 1-3 right now. No shot of catching the Falcons. And I said Falcons don't impress me. I mean, they're a good football team, don't get me wrong, but they're nothing. When I picked Carolina to beat Atlanta, Trey, it was because I didn't put a lot of stock in that record of the Falcons. They played great up to this point. They've won a couple of road games, but they're very beatable. But they won the game today. Carolina made the mistake, but I'm not very impressed with what I've seen so far in 4 games with Carolina.
Yeah, I agree. Very disappointed in Carolina this year, Tarvin. I picked them to be a wild card team. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think that the Falcons, they were very balanced in those games, Tarvin. The Panthers outplayed them, and that happened. But the Falcons got the win, and that's what really good teams do. They win the games they shouldn't, and that's how, you know, a team goes from 8 wins to, you know, 12 or 13, is, you know, they win the games like this, and that's where the difference between the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons is right now.
Yeah, and you saw how they played without Julio Jones really making an impact until the fourth quarter. He made a good catch, so Falcons look good, but we're going to go to the phone lines real quick from the 404 area code. You're on Weigh-In Sports. Who's this?
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. But anyway, not impressed with Carolina this year, Trey. Very disappointed the way they performed. And I thought Cam Newton's maturity level would have stepped up. And you said something today that kind of made me think a little bit, too. Do you remember last week when Cam Newton celebrated when he was down like 30 points with a touchdown? It just irritated Steve Smith. Well, he did it today. I mean, they were down by 10 points, I believe, and he got a first down, and he did it. So what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, you know, I was watching the game, and he had a good run, but he gets up, and he does, like, you know, he gets this not just first down motion, but almost like he does a Superman and first down. And I was like, you know, you made a good play. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, but where's the maturity? Where's the – you know, are you really thinking about your next play, or are you just thinking about, I just got mine? And I just worry that he isn't thinking of the big picture. But then I did hear this, Tarvin, this was after you and I talked, was that I was watching the different game. They're talking about Cam Newton and what happened after the game. They said that basically he spent 15 minutes basically in solitude in the locker room. And I was like, well, maybe this is a turning point for Cam Newton. Maybe this game finally broke him in the fact that this is about a game, this is about wins, this is about – being more than just, you know, one player. And it seems like it really, this loss really actually, you know, meant something to him. So maybe we see a different Cam Newton next week, Tarvin. I mean, this may be the moment that defines him and turns him around.
I mean, you got to admit, I mean, he had a great football game. I mean, he almost rushed for 100 yards. And I saw a stat that said he scored more rushing touchdowns. He's second on the list behind, I think, McCoy for Philadelphia of rushing touchdowns. And you're talking about every running back in the NFL. He's got more rushing touchdowns than. That's a great stat besides McCoy, of course. But, I mean, he plays good at times. I mean, he makes some great plays. It's hard to prepare for him because he's dual threat. He can beat you with his legs and arms. So it's just how much longer it takes him to mature into that leader. He's not there yet. He'll get close. It might take him this year. Hopefully by next year he will. But, I mean, it's just it's a process. You know, a lot of people say it's a process. So, I think he will come around, Trey. It's just I don't know how long it's going to take.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly got the talent, Darvin. You're right. He had a good individual game, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's about wins, man. It is about wins at some point. You know, as a rookie, you forgive that record because he played so well. But now he's expected, you know, to win games. You know, he needs to win games. That's what he's judged on now. Is can you take your team to the playoffs? Can you win a postseason game? Look at Andy Dalton last year for Cincinnati. I mean, he had a great year, but he took his team to the playoffs. I mean, he had some good weapons around him and a decent defense. So, but that's what he's going to be graded on. Don't you agree, Trey?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's where you make up your name in the NFL. I mean, why do you think, you know, people like Tom Brady and, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, those guys, you know, even, you know, I know you're an Eli Manning hater, but, I mean, this guy's won 2 Super Bowls, and that's where you win. You know, that's where you make your name in the NFL is by winning championships. I mean, not every quarterback is going to be, you know, Dan Marino, who never got there, but, you know, his numbers were just amazing. I mean, so unless you can do one or the other, I mean, that's where you make your name as a great quarterback. Either you win the big one, or you just put up great numbers for your career. And, you know, Cam's got a long way to do that.
He does. And, Trey, let's go to our next game. Do you have it on the list?
Yeah, that was our number 4 game, Tarva. Number 5 game was 2-1 Minnesota Vikings traveled to Detroit. You and I picked Detroit, and I got to tell you, Tarvin, this game shocked me. I mean, Minnesota dominated Detroit the entire game on the road. They're now 3-1. Christian Ponder, you know, I was not a big fan of his, Tarvin. Even being from Florida State, I just didn't think Ponder was an NFL-ready quarterback. But, man, he is really showing maturity, Tarvin. He's doing great outside the pocket, and he's actually not turning the ball over. So what do you think about the Vikings today?
Well, I mean, you go on the road and you win a game, and it just seems like they keep winning. Very impressed with Ponder. This is his second year. He's not hitting a sophomore slump at all, so the kid's doing good. But the thing that disappoints me is Detroit. You know, they have a lot of talent on that team. They're 1-3 right now, and I keep going back in my mind to all the off-season issues that the Detroit Lions had. You have to know that affected them, right, Trey? All the arrests, multiple arrests by different players. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like Detroit, Tarvin, is just out of sync.
Yeah, and just, I mean, who's the leader on that team besides Stafford that's going to step up? You know, Dominican Sue, I wonder if people still consider him a leader after some of the dirty play he had last year.
Yeah, I don't know that he's a leader on that defense, Tarvin, and that's probably part of the problem is, you know, is they don't have the identity I think they all thought they would. I mean, they were supposed to be, a dominant defensive team. And, you know, I mean, they're certainly good. I mean, no one's taken the fact that the Detroit Lions are a good defense. But, I mean, they don't seem to lack that individual identity the way some other teams have, like the way the 49ers have come out and played, Tarvin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very shocked that they're 1-3. I mean, I guess it shouldn't be shocking to me with all the arrests they had. But, I mean, this team can score points. You have Calvin Johnson. You have Matthew Stafford. I mean, you should be able to beat people. I mean, last year I thought they took that step. Even though they lost in the playoffs, they actually made the playoffs. And they played well at times last year. But I don't think they even make the playoffs now, Trey.
Yeah, I agree. They're another team that I think a lot of people are having to reevaluate. And I just don't see the Detroit Lions having that fortitude. I mean, they looked a little defeated at the end of this game, Tarvin, and you always wonder when a team is supposed to be so good and supposed to have so expectation and struggles at the beginning of a year, what happens with that? And, you know, with the Detroit Lions, I mean, this could be one of those times where, you know, like the Arkansas Razorbacks where, you know, you break their will and then, oh, here come the losses because the NFL doesn't get any easier, Tarvin. And the Lions still got a lot of really tough games to play. So, you know, they better reevaluate and get some new fortitude.
Yeah, and you know, you still have to play Green Bay, Chicago. I mean, that's a tough division, not only your other game. So let's move to game number 3, Trey.
Yeah, Tarvin, game number 3 is actually being played right now. It's the New York Giants at Philly. Give you an update on the game, Tarvin. Right now it is 0-0. It's been a kind of a sloppy game if you're watching it. The Eagles haven't looked good. McCoy hasn't got started. Eli Manning has looked okay. But neither team has really gotten anything going.
It doesn't surprise me when you say the word sloppy in Philadelphia together right now. But I did pick Philadelphia to win this game, being at home. But, I mean, it's hard to pick against the Giants, too, when they're on the road. They seem to play very well. So we'll hit this game later, and especially we'll hit on it again Wednesday night. So let's go to number two.
Number two, Tarun, was the 2-1 49ers going at the New York Jets. And, you know, what came out of this game, Tarun, other than the huge beatdown the Jets got, was Mark Sanchez hasn't really completed, I think, like around 40% of his passes. And, you know, so we talked about before the season, Tarun, I told you their first five or six games were real tough. And that, you know, Sanchez was going to struggle. And that, you know, people are going to start talking about Tebow. So, Tarvin, here we are. People, the first thing that came up after the game was Rex Ryan is who's your starting quarterback? Is it still you know, Mark Sanchez? So, how far do the Jets fall at this point?
Oh, they fall big time. And I finally found an offense worse than the Auburn Tigers, Trey. the New York Jets. So I'm happy to see that. San Francisco, though, they're a very dominant defense, but you're at home. You have to be able to produce at home. If you're a serious team, if you're going to be taken serious, you have to win your home games. But they look pathetic. But I don't think Tim Tebow's the answer either, Trey. I don't think he can come in and change that offense and make it explosive or anything. So I think the Giants are just in trouble. I mean, they're struggling everywhere on the field.
Yeah, I mean, two things to take away. The Jets are 2-2, Tarvin. So, I mean, they're not under 500 just yet. But, I mean, this was an incredibly tough stretch for them. They're going to come out, you know, and play a little bit better, you know, better competition or at least better in the win column. But I still don't see the Jets over 8-8, Carmen. I think my prediction is still going to play out. I just don't think that this is a team that has the identity, has the offensive capabilities to win a lot of games in the NFL. I think they're going to be about 8-8, maybe 7-9.
Yeah, and how long does Rex Ryan coach that team if they don't make the playoffs, Trey?
Well, I mean, New York's a position that doesn't give you a whole lot of slack, so you got to wonder how much rope he really has, and whether they're right now that, you know, whether ownership has given him the rope to hang himself or actually given him the rope to let him coach for a little bit longer. But, you know, the ownership bringing in Tim Tebow wasn't really his idea, so I kind of wonder what it is, the philosophy of this franchise is right now.
Well, you better have a lot of rope to hang him. He's a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Jets are heading downhill fast. I mean, that was an embarrassing loss. San Francisco blocked a punt for a touchdown, rushing one guy in this game. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, you can't block one guy from coming in. They were just trying to play, you know, just let them kick the ball, but one guy broke free and blocked a punt for a touchdown. So let's move on to our next game, see if it's any better than this
one. Well, Monday night, we have the Chicago-Dallas game, Tarvin, so we'll have to see what happens with that one.
All right, let's go to number one.
That was number one, Tarvin. That's all wrapped up for NFL.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said two. Hold on just a second. Let me turn my volume up a little bit. Maybe I'm going deaf in my old age or something. All right, let's go to the college, man. And, you know, there were some – The games this weekend were terrible in college football all around. I mean, the best game I saw, honestly, that I watched was Wisconsin-Nebraska. That was a very good game, and it was a Big Ten game. But those guys, both teams played hard. But the top teams in the country, Trey, looked like the bottom seven in the country, you know. Just looking at it, it was just not great performances. So let's start with number 10. Can you name that game for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And, Tarvin, before we get into this, I will say that the one theme I took away from this weekend was that the ACC is pathetic. I mean, I could not be less impressed with the ACC. I mean, we'll talk about some of their losses as we get in, but that was sort of my theme I saw. I mean, you know, they lost every single out-of-conference game that they had a chance to win. I mean, just ridiculous in their absolute weakness, the ACC this year, which I think – has to be very disappointing for that conference trying to prove they're legitimate, Tarvin, because they didn't look legitimate this weekend.
Well, how did Georgia Tech lose by 21 at home to Middle Tennessee? I mean,
yeah.
I think it was 21 points, right?
Yeah, it was 49-28. And Middle Tennessee State just whipped them in the second half. I mean, just absolutely whipped them. I mean, Virginia Tech loses to Cincinnati by 3. I mean, you know, Virginia Tech, I mean, they're supposed to be really great. I mean, the only out-of-conference game that they won was North Carolina beat Idaho, and that's really nothing to write home about. But La Tech beat Virginia 44-38. So, I mean, the ACC, Tarvin, just just weak, just really weak this year.
Let me tell you something strange. Tony Franklin, I think he's the offensive coordinator for Louisiana Tech. You know, they're averaging about 40 points a game. He's the one that came to Auburn under Tuberville to run the spread. You know, they couldn't move the ball at all. I think it was he just came into a bad situation at Auburn when he came in there. But Tony Franklin and Louisiana Tech, they look like a BCS buster. They look like they could come in. Those guys are big up front. Have you seen the size of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I saw an interesting prediction about La Tech was that some people were picking them to run the table. So La Tech may be the BCS buster this year, but, I mean, they got a long way to go to run up the rankings, so we'll see.
Well, welcome Nathan Walters in the chat room, big Nebraska guy. I think he has Nebraska winning the national championship this year. We'll see what he says. But, yeah, it was a great weekend. I mean, just to watch some of the games, but most of the games made me wonder who the best team was. And before we get going to the next game, I want to talk about the poll just a second. In the AP poll, Trey, Alabama got all 61st place votes. And in the coaches poll, LSU got a first place vote. Florida State got a first place vote. So what do you think about Florida State and LSU getting a first place vote in the coaches poll?
Well, I mean, this is, again, I mean, coaches don't watch this. I mean, I got to tell you, if I had to put money on who voted for those two teams, I'd probably tell you it was Jimbo Fisher and Les Miles.
Yeah. But I've changed my polls, Trey. I actually moved Florida State up to number two this week. You know, after watching them the last few weeks, I really think they could, looking at their schedule, what they have going, I really think they could easily run the table and be there. And I moved LSU down to number five, and I actually thought about moving them to six. But we'll get into all that later. But LSU looked like crap this weekend. You know, I thought watching LSU and Auburn play that Auburn took a step forward. But after I watched LSU play this weekend, I mean, against Towson Tigers, they looked like garbage. And I'm very surprised that LSU didn't run this team out by 60 points. So are they looking ahead to Florida next week?
Well, I mean, this was a trap week for a lot of teams. I mean, there wasn't a lot to play for a lot of these teams. I mean, you got to kind of look at, I mean, every team is going to struggle. I mean, Alabama didn't beat Ole Miss like they should have. I mean, Ole Miss gave up 66 points to Texas at home, and they actually played Bama kind of tough. You know, but the way I look at it is, Tarvin, is the good teams beat teams week in and week out. It's kind of hard to beat every team by a blowout. You know, I like the fact that Florida State dominated South Florida on the road, a team that has had Florida State's number. I mean, these are the kind of wins that while they aren't as impressive as you want them to be by stats, you got to kind of watch these games and see, you know, okay, are they winning the games they should? Now, LSU, I think, is a different story. I agree. Towson, there's no doubt that should have been, just talent-wise alone, an entirely different game. So LSU might be in trouble, Tarvin, and I kind of reevaluated some of my predictions for them. I kind of think that they're going to lose maybe two or three games now. I still haven't seen Mettenberger. I just don't think that he's the quarterback who's going to take them to an undefeated season. He makes way too many mistakes in the pocket, way too many bad decisions.
Well, I mean, you see how he's played, you know, this year. Not impressive. And he hadn't played any comp. The biggest game he's played was Auburn, and Auburn shut him down and shut that offense down reasonably. So when he plays Alabama and some of the Mississippi States, some of these great secondaries and great defensive line, and Mississippi State's gotten a lot better since last year. They look good on defense too. So how is he gonna lead LSU to a victory over Alabama? How many points will he need to beat Alabama?
Well, I mean, he's gonna need to play big-time college football, and he's going to need to make throws against a very, very tough defense. And you got to wonder, with the decisions he's making, Tarvin, and I think that he may turn the ball over quite a bit in that game. And I just don't know if he has the confidence to put that, you know, ball through the needle that it's going to have to be at sometimes, because Alabama's not going to make a lot of missed assignments and give him wide-open looks. So, you know, for Mettenberger, you got to think that he's not maturing the way you wanted him to be because you wanted him to be playing at a very high level at this point. You know, and really putting up numbers against, you know, Towson.
Well, I think he needs to shave his mustache to start with. What do you think?
Yeah, he looks a little weird.
All right, well, let's start at number 10. We have Central Florida and Missouri. A game that I picked Central Florida to win this game. I thought they could, You know, I thought they would win at home. I've not been impressed with Missouri this year. So what did you think about this game, Trey?
Well, I mean, Tarvin, we still aren't very impressed with Missouri after watching this game. And they won this game by pulling away. They scored twice in the second half, and that's really what the difference was. They were terrible in the first half, just terrible. Central Florida, they're not a very great team, but, you know, they played them tough at home. Missouri was, you know, they were the benefactor of a lot of just weird little plays in that game, if you watch the game. And Missouri kind of got lucky throughout the second half. But I'll tell you, Tarvin, I mean, good for Missouri to win the game, because this is one of the ones they had to have.
Now, I'm starting to hear some chatter about Missouri coach Pinkel. Do you think Missouri is going to be almost forced to make a change, Trey, especially if they don't start winning conference games? So they've been embarrassed. Georgia just toyed with them and then just blew them out, and then South Carolina dominated them. So, honestly, how long do you stay with Pinkel in the Big 12 or in the SEC coming from the Big 12?
Well, I think that no one, at least who's legitimately got a grasp of reality, expects them to compete right away. I mean, it's like Texas A&M. You got to have kind of a 3 or 4 year plan. You got to be able to give your coach enough time to recruit, you know, the kind of players to come into the SEC. I mean, obviously that they're going to start recruiting players to come play in the SEC from different locales. I mean, both Missouri and Texas A&M opened up the SEC for recruiting in different states, but obviously makes it a little bit easier to recruit. So those schools are going to – you're going to want to give them a couple of years to see what they do, to see if they start getting competitive. I wouldn't fire the guy after year one in the SEC, because, I mean, I think that's a little bit overrating your own team to think that you're going to go in the SEC when Missouri isn't a team that competes every year in the Big 12 in years past. I mean, they were an up-and-down team. So they don't have the consistency year in and year out to be firing coaches after 1 year.
Yeah, I'm just not liking the direction that Pinkel's taking them. I mean, these guys, they came into the SEC cocky, thinking that their brand of football could just come in and just beat the old man, you know, old men in the league, like the football they play. Well, what they finally got humbled to realize is that old man football is how it's been since the creation of football. It's not rocket science. It's just smash mouth football. So do you think Missouri goes away from the spread now and tries to, like Gene Chizik did, you know, he realized it's just not going to work without a big-time quarterback. Do you think they go away and start trying to run an eye formation pro stop?
Well, I think you have to play through the strength of what you have on your team. The spread's kind of what they've been recruiting on. So, I mean, to do that, they're going to have to get brand-new talent in. So, I mean, whoever they get past in the next quarterback, Tarvin, I mean, at this school, I mean, I think they're going to be in the spread for at least a couple more years. They just don't have the talent right now to change their entire program's offensive scheme.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they need to, you know, to start. You have to adapt. When you come to a conference like this, you really have to adapt. So Missouri's looked terrible. They won a game. And looking at the next game, Trey, on our list,
yeah, Tarvin, the next – yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Florida State at South Florida, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, your Seminoles impressed. You know, they went on the road after a tough emotional game against Clemson. So I know you were a little worried about that game, Trey, because, of, you know, it could be a trap game and just the hangover. But Florida State goes out. They take care of business. It wasn't the best performance, but it wasn't the worst performance. It actually impressed me about Florida State, the way they come and took care of business on the road against a team that has given them trouble in the past. So what are your thoughts on that game real quick?
Yeah, real quick, I mean, this is, you know, Florida State, you know, defense still looks pretty good. I mean, if you didn't watch the game and you're going off clearly off, you know, what people are saying or what you're regurgitating from others or just stats, you're thinking, well, their defense isn't as dominant as what everyone's saying. But that's really not the case when you watch the game. In fact, the big plays, both in the Clemson game and the South Florida game, were coming off one position, and that's our strong safety. And he's a young guy, Tarvin. He's been out of place a lot in those two games, and that led to big scores, both from the Clemson. He's the guy who got burned in the very first play of the Clemson game. He's the guy who got burned on two touchdowns for South Florida. So, you know, Tarvin, the defense is playing really well, minus him, and that's where the loss of Greg Reed, the All-American at corner, helped Florida State. So they had to move a guy to corner. So you know, Florida State still got some pretty big holes to fill, but you got to like this. You got to like the fact that if they can go to NC State, who's been another kryptonite for Florida State, if they can go and win, you know, win 37-20 or whatever it is, these are the kind of games that Florida State needs to build their confidence on and get that little tinkering on defense correct and keep moving the offense along. So I like what I saw from Florida State, but definitely some holes to fill.
It's good to play a game where you can come away with something to improve on. So I think that's what Florida State did. So take us to number 8, Trey.
I'm reading Tino's. He says that I have Noles, Spartans, Trojans, Longhorns, Red Owls, Blue Devils are all the teams that I have.
Sure.
Not true, Tino, but funny. Next game, Tarvin, was actually a really good game. Wisconsin at Nebraska. This was a really, really good game, Tarvin. And Nebraska came back from a deficit and actually looked really, really strong in the fourth quarter. They were down. They didn't get out. I love the fact they rallied in this game, and I watched it in the second half. And who knew that Taylor Martinez could actually throw the ball, even with that funky style, a little bit accurate. So what did you think of the game?
Well, I'm very surprised that Wisconsin scored as much on Nebraska on the road. So it just made me wonder about Nebraska's defense a little bit, Trey. Did the light come on for them? Did they finally learn how to block and run the football, or was it just Nebraska's defense, do you think?
Well, and this is me not following Wisconsin all that closely, but one of the things that I was surprised in, Tarvin, during the game was that Wisconsin had gone away from the transfer from NC State at quarterback, and they had gone with their freshmen. And he actually threw the ball extremely well deep, Tarvin. I was surprised at how accurate this kid was. He got popped around, and they took him out in the fourth quarter. I think he got hurt a little bit. But, you know, for Wisconsin, maybe part of their problem was the fact that their quarterback wasn't fitting in their scheme. I mean, ball didn't look great during the game, but, you know, they may be finding something. I think part of it, obviously, is Nebraska played a really good football game. But, you know, Wisconsin seemed to find a little bit in this game, too, and maybe they're starting to correct some of the issues they've been having.
Yeah, and that redshirt played last week, so he got a little time to play against a cupcake, really, just to get his rhythm down. But it just looked like it took Nebraska off guard, that style. Looked like they came in and hit them good. But I was impressed that Nebraska was down 17 points against a team that likes to run the ball and you know, that can run the ball and move the chains. They came back, and it was rather fast they came back. So I was impressed with Nebraska, the way they did come back and win the game, because you're going to have games like that where you're going to be tested. And it could be a turning point for Nebraska's season, Trey. Probably the only highlight out of the Big Ten yesterday, really. If you're a Big Ten fan, you can put your stock in Nebraska, because Ohio State's on probation. They're not going to be able to go anywhere. So if you're a Nebraska fan, do you feel good, or are you worried after that game?
Well, I think any time that you can beat a conference opponent like Wisconsin and Nebraska, I mean, obviously it was a home game. You know, Wisconsin comes in. They were 3-1 despite how poorly they played. I mean, so this is a big game for Nebraska because, you know, they still can win this conference. So, obviously, it's a step in the right direction. It puts Wisconsin pretty much behind the eight ball, and we all thought that they were, you know, off the map and winning this conference. But it gives Nebraska that a little bit of confidence going into some more of the conference play. And, you know, Tarvin, this is really anybody's division. I mean, because none of these teams look real good. And, you know, like I said, Ohio State, who didn't look great either, but they're undefeated, and they're the ones who can't go.
And Nathan Walters in the chat room made a good point about the turnovers. Nebraska fumbled twice deep in their own territory. It goes to show you, in a conference game, really against anybody, if you turn the ball over and play sloppy, you can get yourself in a big hole. Nebraska's lucky that they're more talented than Wisconsin and had that home field advantage to be able to come back like that. You cannot turn the ball over deep in your territory usually several times and win a game if you're playing a respectable opponent. So good job, Nebraska. You won a big game. You were favored 13 and 1-3, but a win's a win. So take us to the next one, Big Trey.
Yeah, I'd be curious what Nathan thought of the uniforms that Nebraska wore, because I know a lot of Nebraska fans that I was talking to, they're friends of my wife, weren't very big fans of it. So I'd be interested to see I don't know if he posted anything on the message board about the Nebraska uniforms. I know there was a lot of hate out there from Nebraska fans about them. Tarvin, number 7, And this is where I hope Jason calls in to apologize to me, because I put my money on the Minnesota Gophers and I got burned, Tarvin. Iowa at home dominated Minnesota, and this is an Iowa team that's been terrible this year. So what did you think about the Gophers going to Iowa and losing?
Well, I think I said Iowa would win by a couple of touchdowns. Did I not on that game? Yeah, I think I did. It looked like, you know, what it looked like to me is Minnesota played, you know, the weaker schedule early. Iowa's at home. They haven't looked good this year. But Iowa seems like they always play better when people are questioning them, Trey. Like, if you feel like Iowa's going to lose, they'll win. If you feel like Iowa's going to win, they'll lose. It's just weird. Iowa's a weird team, but I just thought they were the better team yesterday. Minnesota has a lot of young players on that team, you know, freshmen, sophomores. I mean, they're just trying to build it. So 4-1, I think most Minnesota fans will take that trick.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. Does Kirk Ferentz, does he keep his job now? Was this one of those games that he keeps his job, or is this one of, I mean, are people still wanting to get rid of him?
I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one. We'll have to ask our Big Ten expert, Jason's on the line right now. Jason, how do you feel about the Iowa coach keeping his job?
He'll keep his job. I won't make excuses. I mean, they lost. But you're right, Tarvin. You know, I mean, they're young. I mean, they're all freshmen and sophomores. So the one thing you'll see out of young teams, they're inconsistent. They didn't show up on Saturday. I would say overall, the conference in general is a very young conference. I think a majority of the teams right now are rebuilding or have new coaches. So that kind of explains a lot of the downside of what the Big Ten is this year. You know, we'll be back. I mean, I have faith that Urban's going to do something special in Ohio State. And Kill's going the right direction, you know, with the Gophers. And, you know, they're building. So, you know, I'm perfectly happy with saying we're probably fourth or fifth best conference right now. So, it is what it is.
I know 4-1. You'll take that right now. Before the season started, if somebody told you you'd be 4-1 after the Iowa game, you'd have been very happy, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I said on Wednesday that we were 4-0, and I'm happy right now just simply because, you know, we got one more win than we did all last year, so we're going in the right direction. So, I mean, they did look, you know, good at some point. And the one thing, they didn't quit all game. So, you know, they played the whole game.
So, Jason, I'm going to ask you a question. You think the ACC is better than the Big Ten?
Yeah, I do.
After what you saw yesterday?
Yep, from top to bottom, I do, yeah. I mean, Georgia Tech's no slouch. Florida State's playing awesome. You know, I think so, yeah.
Okay, but I think you're right about Urban Meyer and Ohio State. I think he's going to build something there at Ohio State. He did it at Florida. He did a great job there, moved on to the Big Ten. I think he'll get a lot more recruits. He'll pull some recruits out of Florida to come up to Ohio State and play some football probably, and probably build, you know, a juggernaut in Ohio State. But, I mean, you guys played hard yesterday. You know, a young team, they go on the road early. You know, that was their first road game, I believe, or second road game. But, you know, it showed they were a young team. That's what I saw when I watched.
Well, yeah, and two, I mean, stats don't lie. I mean, we haven't won in Iowa since 1999. So, you know, Iowa plays tough at home. I'm just going to enjoy this year of being that team that's going to be the spoiler. I mean, you can't look past our Gophers. I mean, we snuck it by two teams last year, and, you know, if I was Nebraska, Wisconsin, the Michigans, I wouldn't look past us.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I thank you for calling. Do me a favor and hit number one when we hang up. So if Sonia or you want to come back on, press number one. And that way I can see you come back. We're going to take another call. But, man, thanks. And I look forward to watching the Gophers play.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, we're going to go to the 402 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is Nathan out of Nebraska.
Hey, Nathan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, you tell people I'm on a suicide watch. What's up with that, man? I bet I'm hiatus. Completely different.
Well, I had to get you back, man. I was wondering about you. I had to call the police and ask them if they put a missing persons ad out. I finally found you.
Well, yeah, you were the one to find me, too. I mean, the FBI couldn't track me down. Jason Bourne couldn't even find me. It had to be you.
I think I was the one hiding, actually. You know, not you. So after watching Auburn go
right,
1-3 this year, I've been in hiding myself. So.
Well, you actually, when you came out of the woodwork when I posted something on there because the LSU fan was saying that their game with Auburn was close was because, you know, Auburn's really good, not because LSU is not as good as we thought. That's when you decided to go, well, Nathan, maybe you're overlooking Auburn. I said, no, I don't know about that.
Well, after watching LSU play last night, and I did get to catch bits and pieces, I just don't know what to think, man. I don't know if Les Miles is sandbagging right now, if he's I just think Mettenberger's lost right now.
Well, you know, we've kind of had the same opinion about LSU, I think, since the beginning started. We kind of want to do a wait-and-see type thing. You know, it didn't appear that they lost a lot last year, especially because their quarterbacks were just, you know, kind of game managers. But what is Mettenberger really for LSU at this point? We don't even know. And it's hard to tell what kind of a team they are, what is their identity. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, and I don't see them being able to go to Tuscaloosa right now. I mean, if they play the way they've been playing, they'll get killed. But I think Florida, the real test will be this weekend to see how their season's going to go. They go to the Swamp. What do you think about that game?
You know, I really like Florida in that game. I think that Florida is opportunistic, if nothing else. They have the ability, especially in the second half, to score a lot of points. The thing that people said about LSU this year has been, well, you know, they're a second-half team, and you saw it against one FCS team. You saw it against Washington. But what I really see, you know, when I watch Florida play is what I saw them against Texas A&M, and I saw them against Tennessee. This is a team that came in to a game competitive, and the game was tight at the half. But then in the second half, they just blew it wide open. Really good. I really like what they're doing in Gainesville right now. I think that LSU is going to win this game. Or not LSU, Florida is going to win this game. I think they're going to win it, maybe going away.
Okay. I'm going to wait till Wednesday night to make my pick. So you're going to have to get on there with us and see how we do predicting. But looking at the Nebraska-Wisconsin game last night, who's your next game? Is it at Ohio State?
Yes, it's in Columbus. It's going to be 8 o'clock Eastern. Saturday night in Columbus.
Well, that's a big game. I mean, I think that's a huge game for Nebraska, and I think Nebraska has a lot more to lose in this game because Ohio State can't go. Do you like your ability to be able to stop Braxton?
I like the looking at what Michigan State did, you know, when they put a lot more people to spy Braxton Miller, because when you look at it, Ohio State, when you look at their number one passer, of course, is Braxton Miller, but you look at their number one rushing person as well, and it's also Braxton Miller by a long shot. So I think that if Nebraska, Bo Pelini, you know, John Papuchas, defensive coordinator, can figure out how to spy Braxton Miller, they have the speed to catch Braxton Miller. He's a big, big guy. He reminds you, you run down the field like a Cam Newton type of guy that's hard to take down. But if Nebraska and Bo Pelini can get a spy on Braxton Miller and even put a couple guys on an island, you know, I think that if they can't wrap up and can't stop Braxton Miller, Nebraska will not win the game. I'll tell you that right now. They can't do it.
Well, I wonder, you know, with the Big Ten not getting any love, and Trey, correct me if I'm wrong, you know I'm a conspiracist anyway. I wonder how the officials will call this game, knowing that it's a bigger game for Nebraska. And it really means nothing for Ohio State since they can't go anywhere. Well, what are the chances the officials are bought and paid for in this game, Nick?
I tell you what, if you're a Nebraska fan, you already know they're already against Nebraska. But, you know, no, I would say probably 0%. I don't think that – I think the Big Ten, even if Ohio State, they can't play in the postseason, the Big Ten still needs a team. They still need a team to say, hey, you know what, you're lucky we're not in the postseason. And it may be Ohio State. But then again, like I said, you look at Ohio State, they are really on offense. The player of the year in the Big Ten right now is Braxton Miller. And he is, you know, by far, and far and away, the largest playmaker that I've seen in the Big Ten yet this season. And, you know, and yet again, I watch a lot of the teams play, and he is the biggest threat on any team that I've seen.
I wonder if last night's game – and Trey, you can answer on this. I wonder if last night's game was a turning point for Martinez. It looked like Trey said, he finally looked like he knew how to throw the ball. And I think he gained a lot of respect from his teammates, leading them back from a 17-point deficit. Trey, do you think this is a turning point for Nebraska?
I think this week coming up is a turning point for Taylor Martinez, because part of his huge struggles are always on the road, and this guy has always played better at home. I did like the fact that at times he made better decisions when he got outside the pocket, and, you know, they rolled him a little bit. But I liked the offensive play calling in the fourth quarter. I mean, they set Taylor Martinez up for success. And I think if you drop him back and just keep him in the pocket, then he's a quarterback that's going to get destroyed because he doesn't have the arm strength to get down the field. But if you roll him out a lot, you give him that dual threat. And he really ran the ball really well in the second half of that game. And it's the short, you know, cutting across the field passes that are Taylor Martinez's strength. And that's the kind of plays that opened up for him in the fourth quarter. And so I like the offensive play calling for him. And I think that's what's going to be the difference if they get Taylor Martinez success against Ohio State, is how they call him and how they get him out of the pocket.
Well, Nathan, you got any final thoughts on Nebraska for us, sir?
Well, I don't mind the uniforms, since you asked about it. I don't care one way or the other, because once it got out there and once they started putting the helmet to helmet, you know, it really didn't matter what uniform you were wearing. But I got a chance to pick one up yesterday. I got one donated to me yesterday. No, just the top jersey. I wanted the shoes more than anything, but I got the top. And I got to tell you, that is a sleek material, the tech fit material that they just put together for that. It is a really nice jersey. But I don't really care about the uniforms. I think I like the way that Nebraska's uniforms look with the scarlet on top and stuff, you know. But I think, like Trey said, that if you know, when it comes down to playing the game, Taylor Martinez is the catalyst for the Nebraska offense. Even though Nebraska has, you know, probably the best rushing attack in the Big Ten, I think without Taylor Martinez's ability to move around the pocket and bust some run plays, Nebraska would be easy to beat without him. So I think if they keep him upright against Ohio State later on the season against Michigan State, and Nebraska has a really good chance to go to the Rose Bowl.
All right. Well, Nathan, man, I thank you for coming on the show, and I look forward to hearing back from you. I know you're a big diehard Nebraska fan, and I have to appreciate that, man. You do a good job breaking down your team, analyzing your team, and you do a great job writing. And if people don't know, Nathan writes for the Bleacher Report. He does a great job, man. He can pick the games good. He knows his football. So, again, I thank you for coming on, man.
Oh, actually, real quick, Tarvin, one more thing. Hey, what was my pick set this past weekend? What was my record? Was it 15-0?
Yeah. Yeah, but I have to ask you about that. I have to ask you about that. What games? I could have picked 15 games if I could have picked which games
all,
I wanted.
All top 25.
Really? Well, congratulate. Was it with the point spread or straight up?
No, it was straight up.
That's good, man. 15-0 is great, man. Congratulations. I thought you were joking with me when you said that. So
no, you said I didn't do it. I posted a picture on your little thing. It says, look, 15-0. Check it out. Boom, right there.
I saw it, and I deleted it because I don't like pictures on the board.
By the way, the best athlete in college football is Denard Robinson, and it's not even close.
No, I think the best athlete right now is that kid out of Oregon, Thomas, that running back.
Oh, there is Thomas. I you know what, I would think so, but I've seen Denard Robinson play. He might be the worst quarterback, but that guy is the best athlete when you're going up and down the field side to side. Athlete, he's so hard to take down. I've watched him for years. I have to say that because I know Justin's going to say something about me later.
Okay, well, man, I really appreciate the call, and take care. Stay on with us, son. Talk to you later, man. Well, Nathan is 15-0, Trey. I have to respect that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can go undefeated in anything, Tarvin, that's respect.
15-0 for Nathan Walters. Man, one day when I grow up, I want to be Nathan Walters. To go 15-0. I'd like to have a $1,000 bet on every game. That'd be pretty cool. But anyway, thanks for coming on for Jason. And Jason, great jobs talking about your teams right there. And if anybody else wants to call in, the number is 646-716-5564, 646-716-5564. So, Trey, real quick, let's talk about the next game. Arizona hosted Oregon State. I think we both picked Arizona to win this game at home. to rebound. I believe you did. I'm not for sure. But, you know, coming on back home, playing Oregon State, do you think Oregon State's for real with this win?
Well, I picked Oregon State to win this game, Tarvin, actually. Not so fast, my friend. And I think Oregon State's a pretty good team. I mean, they've won three games, two of them versus ranked teams, and Arizona was a decent ball club. I mean, Arizona beat Oklahoma State. So, you know, Tarvin, I actually like what Oregon State's doing, and they just seem to be able to find a way to win every game. And you got to wonder, Tarvin, this team may cause a little trouble for those Pac-12 teams who think that they are automatically anointed with, you know, the national championship game. So, and especially Oregon. I mean, Oregon State, that's the war there. So the Civil War. So you got to wonder how competitive they're going to be in those games. But right now, I really like what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and the defense, you know, they seem like they play decent defense. I've watched them play, and those guys can tackle. They play fundamentally sound football. So you're right. I mean, if you early in the season when we picked Oregon and Southern Cal to just walk through this conference, I mean, we have to think again. And we're going to go to the phones real quick. Trey, 317 area code, you're on. Where are you? Where are you from, sir?
I'm from Indianapolis. How you guys doing tonight?
Good. What's going on?
Not much. I just want to say, talk about Purdue and stuff like that. Granny was a shootout with Marshall yesterday, but correct me if I'm wrong. But ain't Marshall like the number one offense in the country?
Who's the number one offense in the country? I'm sorry?
Marshall.
I don't know. I thought West Virginia might be after watching them yesterday.
No, I mean total offense is what I'm referring to.
I have no idea. Trey, do you know?
That's the first time I would hear of it. I mean, I know Marshall's got a really high-powered offense.
Yeah, because, I mean, like with Purdue, granted we didn't play so well in the third quarter yesterday, but that game was already out of hand and stuff like that. And as I listed in the chat room with you guys a minute ago, my name is Michael Hoog, by the way.
Oh, hey.
And I was saying, had Danny Holm not screwed up and kept rotating with Marvin Thurbush, Purdue's 4-0. There's no way we've had so much success with Marvin there. It wasn't even funny. I don't know why they keep doing it, but I don't know. But I will say this, though, about Nebraska. If they can spy on Braxton Miller, he's going to be here before the season. I guarantee you this, though, that Purdue will either beat Michigan or Wisconsin, if not both of them. That's how good I think we are this year. And we'll probably go into Columbus and do the same thing.
Well, that's a good pick. So you asked me the question earlier, would Purdue or Wisconsin win their division, right?
Yeah. I'm a Purdue fan, by the way. And I was just saying, I think it's going to be one of those two teams that wins the division this year. And Wisconsin, I don't think they're really that good this year, especially with ball and stuff, because he's coming with concussions and stuff like that. I just don't think they're as good as they are from last year. Agree or disagree?
I don't know. I agree.
I was wondering
Hold on. I want to tell you, Oklahoma State's the number one offense. Number two is West Virginia. Number three is Baylor right now.
Why was he saying Marshall was like in the top 15 teams in the country then yesterday? I don't know. But that quarterback from Marshall, he is a heck of a quarterback though, man. I will say that. I will give him his props.
Yeah, I think Marshall's a team that I really haven't been able to watch much this year, and I'm going to have to, after this call, I'm going to have to tune in to them and study them a little more. So Trey said they have a great offense. You say they have a great offense, but I honestly haven't really checked them out this year. So I'll do that after this.
Yeah, all right. Well, hey, thanks for taking my call. I hope to catch you guys on Wednesday night, man.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, see ya.
See you, bud. Okay, Indianapolis caller. I like that. So I'm going to have to check out Marshall, Trey, to see what they're made of.
Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot of Boilermaker chatter going on, so maybe he's on to something, Tarvin. I haven't really caught the whole lot of Purdue games, but I know they beat Marshall by 10 this past weekend. But, you know, hey, maybe Purdue. When they get to those games that matter, Tarvin, we'll have to cover a little Purdue.
Yeah, and I like the passion for his team. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Tarvin, going back to the game we were talking about, the Oregon State game, somebody else in the chat room, I think it was Justin Hawk, said he had some beaver juice. So I'm not the only one who's got a little beaver fever.
Hey, Trey, this is a clean show, dude.
Easy.
So, Sonia says she wants to come on when we talk Bama, so we'll bring her on in a few minutes when we talk some Alabama. So, yeah, Oregon State, guys, I mean, they could be the team that could be the fly in the ointment to some of these teams in the Pac-12. I mean, Oregon, you better not sleep on these guys. I'm interested to see if anybody knows in the chat room, where does Oregon play this game against Oregon State? Where's the Civil War this year? If you have that in the chat room, please let us know, because that could be a huge game, Trey. Oregon could be number one or two in the country undefeated, and you know how hard that game is. That's a rivalry, and anybody can win that one. It's kind of like the Iron Bowl. And so I'm interested to see. So if you're in the chat room, you know, let us know. So let's move on to the next game, Trey.
Justin Hawk and Jason Humphrey helped us out, Carvin. It's in Beaver Stadium.
Uh-oh. You better be careful, guys. This team can play defense.
Yeah.
All right, what's our next one?
Our next one shouldn't take long, Carvin, because if we talk about it more than 60 seconds, it would be longer than the Arkansas Razorbacks were actually in the game with Texas A&M. So what'd you think about Arkansas? This team is absolutely done. It looked like a team who's done, Tarvin. They showed nothing on the road this week.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed. Hey, before we go on, Jason Humphries is wanting on real quick. Jason, you're on Way In Sports. How's it going, man?
Hey, Brian, it's me, Jay. Just want to talk about my Ducks for a second.
Okay.
What's the thing that I'm realizing against Arizona and Washington State? Yes, both games were close at halftime, but in the second half, it looks like Oregon is just raining down opponents, and the opponents, the depth is really showing up as an issue in the second half.
Yeah, Oregon's going to have to, in my opinion, I dropped them down this week a little bit, Jason, because I'm worried about their defense right now. That's what worries me about them.
Well, the thing that everybody says about Oregon's defense is, yeah, they give up a lot of yards and whatnot, which is true because their offense is one of the fastest offense. Their defense is on the field. But when inside that 20, that defense is giving up field goals. And with the field goals, you cannot beat Oregon with field goals. They shut out Arizona, which is a high-power offense. And they shut down Washington State to 26 or 19 points last night.
Yeah. So Oregon's going to be that team, Jason. We're going to watch closely. So I look forward to hearing back from you when they get deeper into their schedule, too. So
Let's
see how they go.
Another thing, right. I'm going to make a bold prediction right here. USC will not win the South. I guarantee you, Arizona State will win the South.
Wow.
USC is probably the fourth best team in the conference behind Oregon, Arizona State, and Oregon State. So.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, man. So call back in, and we appreciate it, man, for the call. And Trey, he made a good point. I've been looking at Arizona State, too. I thought they were a very good team, you know, but they look good. They went to Missouri and lost on the road, but Arizona State's playing some good football right now.
Well, I mean, that's a bold prediction, Carmen. I mean, I'm not sure that I agree with him, but this is when we play the games. I mean, the Pac-12 is showing that it's not the conference that we thought it was, and we kind of thought that this was going to be a two-team race, and looks like it's anything but. I mean, obviously, Oregon, I think, is still the absolute best team in this conference because I think they're one of the best teams in the country in Oregon, but, you know, we'll see, Tarvin. I'm still the Oregon, I'm not sure about this conference, and I'm not sure if Oregon can get past some of these teams now. They've got a lot of talent, though.
Well, Jason seemed very confident about that, too. I mean, to say they're the fourth-best team in that division, I mean, I'm going to have to go back and do a little studying, but that's a bold prediction, Jason. So if you get that right, you're definitely going to have to join us. So Jason said I was wrong about something. I don't know what it was. But anyway, let's go back to the Arkansas game we were talking about real quick. Arkansas moved the ball on these guys, but they only managed 10 points in the game. But the thing we talked about on last show is Arkansas's defense is, you know, they're terrible, they're garbage. And now, in order to win games, Trey, you have to want it. You have to play that second half hard. And it looks like Arkansas just doesn't want it anymore. They packed it in, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, Tarvin, I don't know that they should be favored in a game the rest of this season. I mean, they're almost that bad, Tarvin. I mean, they are just, 10 points on the road against, you know, a mediocre, decent Texas A&M team. And this was supposed to be a top 10 team. And you can't really make excuses for injuries at this point, Tarvin, because they had their guys playing in this game they wanted to play. So, you know, I don't know. I think that if I'm an Arkansas guy right now, I think you fire John L. Smith right now, Tarvin. I think you fire him right now because he is not giving you anything. The kids aren't playing for him, and I think there's no point to having him finish the season.
I wanted to wait till after the Auburn game to do it because I would hate for an interim coach to fire him up a little bit and make him play hard. So I want Arkansas to keep playing like garbage until after next weekend because I'll worry about that game too. We'll talk about that Wednesday night. That's going to be a tougher game for Auburn than people think. You know, everybody thinks Arkansas is just going to lay over, but Tyler Wilson's still a great quarterback, and they still can move the ball, but their defense, if Auburn can't rack up 500 yards of offense, they need to fire their coordinator right off the bat. So, I mean, that's a bad – how many yards did they give up, like 750 yesterday?
It was terrible, Tarvin. I mean, but, you know, Arkansas, what's best for Arkansas is to give Ragonel Smith immediately. They're not playing for him, Tarvin. He's proven that he can't coach these guys. I mean, whether it's the players or the coach, I mean, he's a temporary coach as it is. Get rid of him. See what a coordinator can do for the rest of the year. It can't be any worse than it is now.
Yeah, I mean, you go from looking to win a national championship to you're 1-4?
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible, man. You've lost 3 home games. And 1 road game, your only win comes from the first game of the season, somebody I don't even know. But, Trey, I'm with you, man. I think if you fire him today, you're about 3 weeks late. So, I mean, he needs to go. People need to know that Arkansas is not going to put up with that mediocrity. Obviously, the players don't want to play for him. They're not getting anything. John L. Smith's not getting anything. Looking at him on the sidelines, he looked like a deer in headlights the whole game. He acted like he had no clue what was going on. So I think he has some more other problems going on in his life that's probably, you know, distracting him from that team. Arkansas right now needs focus. They need attention. They went through a tragedy, you know, losing their coach and all that controversy. So they need somebody that can turn this program around, and it's not John L. Smith.
No, it's not.
All right, let's move on. That game, 60 seconds. I think we talked a little longer than that. But
yeah, Tarvin, number 4 actually was one of the better games of the week. I mean, Tennessee at Georgia. This game was lopsided for a while, Tarvin. It looked like Georgia was going to kind of run away with it. But Tennessee showed a little bit of fight, but just couldn't make the comeback after giving up 30. You know, this was a 30-30 at the half, Tarvin, I think this game was, until Georgia put up 21 in the third. So what did you think about this game?
Well, it was the highest SEC scoring game and a half by two teams since like 96, I believe they said. It looked like to me Georgia got a big lead, and then they got sloppy. They started fumbling the ball in their own territory. I think they took Tennessee for granted. If you give any team life like they did, Georgia's lucky to get out of that game with a win considering their turnovers, but Tennessee's a good football team. They're not bad. I mean, they have their ups and down moments, but they can score on you. And I think Georgia forgot that yesterday. I think they relaxed a little bit, and Tennessee struck them. But a lot of people are down on Georgia's defense right now. Trey, what do you think about the defensive performance?
I mean, Georgia's got some defensive problems, and that was supposed to be their strength. You know, they're supposed to get their 2 of their starters back in this game, and I'll tell you that they have a lot of defensive problems to worry about, but I guess here's my question, Tarvin, is does it really matter a whole lot? Because their offense is really, really good. I mean, I think they're going to be able to score on just about anybody in the SEC, including, you know, I think that this offense can score on Alabama. So you know, when it comes down to their defensive flaws, I mean, it's going to matter in the fact that, you know, I think they're going to lose some of these big games. But, I mean, this offense, it can make up for some of those deficiencies. So they're going to have some time to fix this. But, you know, Tarvin, I didn't pick UGA to win this the East. So I still think they're going to lose a couple of games because of that defense right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so, Trey. I'm looking at it. I think they just, you know, they laxed up a little bit. And Tennessee, that's a rival game. I mean, things happen. And, you know, I think Georgia, the key to their season is this South Carolina game this weekend. Can they go into South Carolina and win? And, again, we'll cover that Wednesday night. But if Georgia wins this game, I mean, it's almost smooth sailing. And the Iron Bowl is a big rival, or the Georgia Auburn game is a big rival right before the end of the season. That might be their only game left that before they run the table. So you have to take Georgia serious right now. Their defense can play very well, and they can score. I mean, they're running back. They had two running backs over 100 yards yesterday.
Yeah.
So very impressed with their offense. So any final thoughts on that game?
No, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, the South Carolina game coming up is going to be really their game of the season. They still got Florida, Tarvin, and that's going to be a really tough game. So, I mean, a lot of people think, obviously their schedule is so favorable. I mean, but with the East being a little bit rejuvenated this year, I don't think these games are going to be as easy as I think everyone thought in the preseason.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that game. And like I said, we have a huge slate of games to cover Wednesday night. And I just hope we have another 60-something thousand listeners of this show, because it's going to be a good one, man. We have a lot of good games. And I think this is where picking really, you have to study your games. So, Trey, hurry up and get our games to us earlier in the week this week.
Yeah, I'll have them to you probably by Tuesday, Tarvin. There's already so many games that were on the schedule weeks ago because, you know, we were hoping that they would all turn out the way they did. And some of them did, some of them didn't. But there's a bunch of games this weekend, Tarvin. It's going to be a big weekend.
I told Trey I wanted to pick some games, and he told me I couldn't take his job, guys. So that's totally on Trey. I'm going to let him keep his job. He doesn't want me to mess with that. So that's Trey's job, is to get these games ready. And, man, he's done a great job of doing it, because last week was tough. And there's just some good games. This week's going to be even tougher. I'm interested to see if Nathan Walters can go 15-0 with this schedule you give him, Trey.
Yeah, we'll see. Come on, I hope Nathan Poster, man, if he runs it like that, man, he's going to be tough to beat, because I can't go undefeated. I'm not that good at picking, Tarvin.
That's hard, man, because we overanalyze them, I think, what it is sometimes. And these games just take on, you know, it doesn't always go like West Virginia yesterday. If you gave up 12 points, they're up 21 points, and all of a sudden they're tied again. So it's just hard to predict them, man. You can't predict some of these turnovers and things. So looking at the next game, Trey, what do we have?
Well, Tarvin, this one was a little bit of a surprise, because Ole Miss played a little tougher than I think a lot of folks wanted. I mean, Alabama still looked like the number one team in the country, Tarvin, but, you know, I mean, they give up 66 points to Texas at home. And, you know, did Alabama pull up in this game, Tarvin, 33-14? I mean, the second half, Bama only scored 6 points. Or was this really an indication of that Bama isn't as strong as we thought they were?
Well, I mean, Ole Miss, and like I said before, Ole Miss is better than they were in previous years. But Alabama toyed with these guys. I mean, it was obvious. If Alabama didn't want them to score, they weren't going to score. And I think Ole Miss, you know, that one drive, I know they got in a hurry up, moved the ball down the field. I think Alabama's still the best team in the country right now. I don't think that took away from what I thought about them last night. They still beat them by a good amount. It is a conference game. And Ole Miss, I mean, it's different than playing Texas. I know you said Texas put up all these points. Ole Miss has never played Texas, really, but they play Alabama every season. So you've got to expect these games to be closer. So people think Georgia is going to go in and blow out Tennessee because they're highly ranked. That's not how it works, usually. So I don't take anything away from that win for Alabama last night. It was a conference win, and they move on to the next game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt Alabama at all in this game, and I do disagree with what Sonya said in the chat room, which is Ole Miss is a strong team or a proved team. Ole Miss is not a good team. But Alabama, I mean, they hit the second half, and it was clear what they were doing. I mean, this was we're going to run down the clock, and this is Nick Saban telling his team, you know, we have a lot of room to improve, and by doing that, I'm gonna pull up in the second half. I mean, that's what Alabama really did in this game, is they pulled up in the second half. So, I mean, they could, you know, obviously this would have been a different score if Alabama was putting on the gas pedal the whole time, but Ole Miss is not a good football team.
All right. Well, Trey, we're going to bring Sonia on real quick. How's it going, Sonia?
What's up, guys?
Oh, just working.
Hey,
working.
Sonia.
Trey, I'm boxing you upside the head.
I speak the truth, Sonia.
Ole Miss does suck, but they don't suck as bad as people think they do. Bama played a damn good game last night. They should have wrapped them up.
Yeah, Alabama played fine, but let's be honest. You don't give up 66 points to Texas, who, you know, by being a good team.
Nah, but every game's different.
Yeah,
if they were more
more right?
motivated to beat and play hard against Bama, then hey, I ain't mad at them.
Sonia, it's a conference game. I mean, those are a lot different than like I said. They don't ever play Texas. They don't really have a lot to work with Texas on film with, you know, their new quarterback and things. But Alabama, they see them every year, and I think they're a little more motivated to play the number one team in the country than they were to play Texas, huh?
They are. They want to be the one to upset Bama, even though, you know, it was beyond the realm of any human possibility. But they wanted to do it. I'm telling you, last night I was impressed with Amari Cooper.
Oh, yeah, the freshman.
84 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was showing out. And D. Milner also.
Yeah, I saw the Cooper catch. That was a great catch in the first half. I think it was the first half he made towards the corner of the end zone where he got his foot in bounds. Actually, I think he got 2 feet in bounds. But he looked good for a freshman. He's from Miami, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
He's from Miami. Yeah. And I was just looking at somebody wrote something in the chat room. And they're right. Saban's never satisfied. So you can be sure that there's going to be some extra practice and some things going on this week.
Who does Alabama play next week? Are they on a bye week now?
Yeah, we're on a bye week. Our next game is
Mizzou. Okay. Well, that ought to be an easy one, too. So I think the true test for Alabama this year, and correct me if I'm wrong, is when they go to Knoxville. I think that'll be a tough one for a little while. LSU, Mississippi State, you know, and possibly the Iron Bowl at the end of the year. You never know how that'll shake out. We don't know yet. But, I mean, there's still some tough games remaining on Alabama's schedule. It's going to be interesting to see how they perform.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait till we see you guys. But I'm definitely looking forward to LSU because LSU – didn't look too hot against Towson. You just never know.
Towson.
You just never know.
Well, I'm sure we'll be breaking down Alabama every week. But Sonia, thanks for calling in and setting Trey straight.
Oh, no problem. Trey knows I love him. I know he's under a lot of stress. He's got a new head of household taking over the house, so you know he has to get his rest when he can. So he might be a little punch drunk.
All right. Well, thanks, Sonia. You want to talk about anything else before you go?
Let's see. I think just this weekend, if you looked at the games, it seemed to be a don't overlook me. I'm not a cupcake game week. Because it seems like all of the teams had to struggle against teams that you think that they should just go ahead and knock out. UGA Tennessee was hilarious. South Carolina Kentucky had me rolling.
Yeah, that was a scary game for the SEC. I mean, they're down 10 points at halftime. Should have been down more than that if Kentucky would have managed the clock better before half. They let it. So you never know. South Carolina better play a lot better before they play with Georgia coming in this week, or it could get ugly.
I know. When I looked at it, I just went, ooh, both are not paying up to standards, but South Carolina and Kentucky? Come on.
Yeah, Kentucky's probably the worst team in the country, maybe. So I do. If I'm a South Carolina fan, I might be just a little concerned at that game. But I mean, they did take it over in the second half, like great teams usually do. But
yeah,
Sonia, you have a great week, and thanks for calling in. And I'm looking forward to Wednesday night. Make sure you call in and chat with us for sure.
Oh, I sure will. Holla.
All right.
Roll Tide.
See you, Sonia.
See ya.
There's the famous Sonia Minson, and we're going to take a call from the 256 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, this is Marty.
What's up,
hey, Brian.
Marty?
How's it going?
Hey, just had to call in and talk about the Bama team now.
What'd you think?
Hey, I think that, you know, Hugh Freeze is doing a good job. I know that, you know, Texas put 66 points on them. But here's my theory about that. Texas is used to playing with a lot of teams that have a lot of offense. They're used to that type of offense kind of that Ole Miss runs. Bama's not used to that offense, that no huddle, just constantly going offense. I really think it throwed them off track for a while. Not saying I ever thought they was in danger of losing the game, but I do think that high-paced offense really affected them some. They'll learn from that game. I think that was a great game for them to play right now. The bye week will come at a good time to head to Missouri. So I don't, you know, I take it as a good game for Bama. I wasn't totally impressed. I wanted more, but you know, you get spoiled as after you know, for 4 weeks in a row, not have to even be drawn up the knot at all. Then all of a sudden, you have to start paying attention to the game. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So coming out, who were the players for Alabama that stepped up and surprised you a little bit and played well?
Well, Mari Cooper stepped up. He really did show what he thought everybody thought he would be. He just developed it a little quicker than I thought he would develop. You know, I think some of the young guys like Dixon and Fagan, Jeffrey Fagan kid, man, number eight, he's really stepping up. I'm really proud that he's stepping into that role. You know, and I think the receivers and all has done real well. You know, Kristen Jones running the kickback. I think there are a lot of them returning because Alabama's still a young team. They've got some veteran offensive line, but they're a young team. I think they're developing right well.
Yeah, they're scary, man. I mean, when you watch Alabama, when I see them play, Marty, and when I see them play defense, it just looks like it's so hard for these teams to even get 5 yards and sometimes a first down. It's just amazing that the way these young kids have been able to step in as freshmen, sophomore, or whatnot, and actually just look as good as they did last year. That's a surprising thing to me. I thought Alabama would struggle, but Saban's recruiting the right kids, it looks like, for that system. And, you know, he recruits a certain body type, a height, a weight, so he knows what he's doing. That's a surprising part to me.
Yeah, you get in the SEC, you know as good as well as anybody. An SEC team can beat another SEC team any given Saturday, if they get down and don't get up for that game and everything goes right, the turnovers go right. I remember Mississippi a few years ago when the great Florida team, the big Tim Tebow, come in and Mississippi State beat them at Gainesville. I mean, you know, that was just – nobody seen that coming. So, you know, all these teams that's been patted on the back for – so many weeks saying how good they are and all this and watching ESPN, they're not going to take things serious. But I think when it comes down to the big games, when it comes down to LSU and some games like that, you're going to see a different team. And one other thing, too, real quickly, if I got just a chance, that Hugh Freeze, I think he's doing a great job. It's going to be pretty scary when he gets all his players in there down there, because I think that coach can really coach. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I saw what he did at Arkansas State. I believe that's where he came from, if I'm not mistaken. He did a great job, and he looks like a coach that the players will respect and play for. He just seems like he's in control at Ole Miss, and I haven't seen that in a long time. And I know they're not great, but trust me, I'm not trying to pump up Ole Miss. But in the next 2 or 3 years, Ole Miss is going to be very tough once he does get his players in. I mean, Ole Miss has sucked for a few years, and teams go up and down, and I think they're heading in the right direction. Trey, do you see anything different?
No, I mean, this is just, you know, you win, you move on. And that's what this game was.
Yeah, but about Freeze, the Ole Miss coach, do you think he's going to turn them around?
Turn them around from what Ole Miss is and what they've always been? No. I don't see any different of what Ole Miss has been in the years past. I mean, they have decent seasons. They're never going to be, to me, and I don't think Freeze is any different, a team that's going to win the SEC.
Well, I mean, it's hard to do that, even if you're great right now. But I'm with Marty on this one. I have to agree that I think he's going to actually maybe take them to a new level. And Houston Nutt really got that program down after Cutcliffe left and different things. And what was that other guy's name? The steroid monster out of Southern Cal that came in.
Orgeron.
Yeah, Ed Orgeron.
The great recruiter, terrible coach.
Terrible person as well. So two out of three. But, Marty, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all had got a great show. Roll Tide.
Hey, all right. We appreciate it, man. And we're going to hit the line real quick before we go to the next game. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
What's up?
Hello?
What's going on?
Who is this?
This is Tino.
Hey, Tino. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? How you guys doing, man? You're supposed to know my voice and my number by now.
Well, I'm sorry, man. There's a lot of numbers in there tonight.
All right.
I'm confused.
Yeah, like Trey. He's confused with his teams. He's a Spartan 1 week. He's a Trojan. You know, the guy's a trip, man. I just wanted to call and talk about a couple things, man. First thing is this whole Arkansas thing. It kind of bothers me because I watched the game. The Razorbacks look like they totally don't have heart right now. It looks as if they're a heartless team, and I agree with what Trey said earlier, that even if they fired the coach now, I think it would be too late. Where do these kids go, and how do you think it feels being the quarterback they have who really was excited about coming back, having a great chance to be somewhere? The team went into the season ranked highly, and I think when they lost that first game, they were done. I think that's it. I think they're flat. I don't think they have anything in their tank left. They could change coaches right now and hire anybody, and I still don't think they would come back to be Arkansas. I mean, do you think they're flat? Are they done or what?
Yeah, I do. I think it's just, I mean, you know, like I said earlier, you have to dig deep to play football to win games, and I just don't think these guys are willing to risk injury now and for nothing. I mean, even if Arkansas comes back and makes a run, what, do they even make a bowl game? So I think a lot of these players that realize they can go to the NFL are just going to kind of pack it in. And I think Tyler Wilson, as many times as he's been hit and beat up on, he has to start thinking that himself. You know, how long is he going to get out here and get killed and hurt his draft stock? So I don't know, Trey, any thoughts on that?
No, I completely agree. Tino and I are on the same page on this. Arkansas, I mean, when you see a team that has no heart and you watch them and they quit on every play, you have guys that don't run routes, you have your left tackle who decides to take a play off, and you see Wilson get blindsided. You know, I mean, that you can't have a team do that. You can't have any success, especially in a conference like the SEC. I mean, Arkansas, I mean, they're deep six. They're done.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And like you said earlier, though, Trey, I looked at the Texas A&M game, and that's all I did was look at it for a little while. I mean, their defense looked horrible. They made Texas A&M look like they were just a pro team, look like they belonged in any and every bowl that they could get in. And Texas A&M, we all know, is not that good. They're not that good.
Well, I totally agree with that, Dino. I agree that their defense, and that's what I said, they just can't stop anybody. And if Auburn doesn't come in with 500 yards at least, I'm going to be very upset.
I disagree with you. I think they can stop people, but they're not trying. Did you see how bad they were out of position? And that goes back to coaching. I think they gave up. You know, y'all made a point that I didn't even look at earlier. They gave up on their coaching. They're done. That team is just – they're done. They should just forfeit the rest of their games if they're not going to even participate in the game.
Yeah, but Arkansas's never been in position, really. They've never played good defense.
Yeah, but they're horrible.
I agree with you. They have quit, though, and that makes it even – I mean, you give up 700 and something yards in the game, you quit. You know, you're right. I mean, I don't disagree with you there, but I think going into the season, they lost a lot on defense and they had a lot of holes. But now it's just, you're right, they quit. I mean, I've never seen a team get that many yards almost. So
I don't either.
And got a freshman quarterback, you know.
I know, and my thing is, man, I was talking to an Arkansas Razorback fan the other day at the store, and I don't understand how just losing a coach could do this to a team. I just don't know how that happened. You know, I really don't understand it. I don't see how one coach could make this much of a difference.
Now, Tino, I'm looking in the chat room, and Lacey says, you sound like you wear white suits.
Yeah, I wore a white suit one time to a wedding. I'm not really a white suit type guy. But, you know, I want to reiterate on some of this other stuff going on, you know, on the chat room and all. You know, everybody's all on Bama. I've even heard you say it, Tarvin. You know, Bama's this and Bama's that. Now, I give you credit. Bama is, right now, looking at any other college team, the best team in college football. And I hate to say that. And, you know, the other guy on here said Oregon Ducks. And, you know, Oregon Ducks are a good team, but they're not big and physical. They can't match up with Alabama like some teams, you know. I think that Alabama can be beat, and I think the only team that can beat them right now is Auburn. And the reason why I say that is because that game right there, you can take your records and you can just put it in the closet because it doesn't matter when it comes to the Iron Bowl. That's something. And then how dare you have the audacity to call Oregon Mud Ducks and the Oregon State River Rats, compare that to the Iron Bowl. That offended me. And I'm actually coming to your house. Where I'm driving on the way to your house right now to confront you about this because that bothered me earlier because you said the rivalry between the Mud Ducks and the River Rats is similar to the Iron Bowl. How do you say that, Tarvin?
Well, Tino, I'm saying the way they treat it up there to them. It's like you watch it. That they have a lot of passion up there about that game. I've done some history on it, research, and
that's true. I'll give you that. But both schools, with all due respect, I'm not knocking. They have a fan base of about, together combined, the Oregon Mud Ducks have probably a fan base of 150,000, and the River Rats have a fan base of probably 46,000. That doesn't compare to the Iron Bowl. You know, it's far-fetched from that. It doesn't even compare to Trey's Bowl where they got down the Toilet Bowl down there in Miami where they play FSU, and basically Miami's done for now. But, you know, my thing is the only team that can beat Alabama is Auburn. I don't know if Auburn can do it, but we have all the capabilities of doing it. And as far as Trey goes from switching teams and everything, I watched the FSU game, and every time they did something, I thought about Trey. I said, this guy, FSU looks good. I think they played a team that has potential. I think FSU can run the table. But who is truthfully, who do y'all two think is the second best team in the league?
I think Florida State.
Yeah, I think Florida State. What'd you say, Trey?
I think Oregon right now, to be honest. They haven't done anything to tell me they're not number two in the country. They've beaten everybody. They've pulled up in the second half. I think Oregon is still number two until they show me they're not.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Tarvin, I'm going to get off here, man, and let y'all go. But my son, he's up right now. We got to go to my uncle's funeral tomorrow. He wants to speak to you about what y'all said about Cam Newton earlier. So I'm going to put him on the phone, okay? Hold on one second.
Did you on the phone, man? Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, what's up?
What's up?
All right, Cam Newton, what you got to say?
Cam Newton didn't do that. It was the defense that did it.
What, the fumble?
The thing you're talking about, the loss, Tarvin.
Yeah. Okay.
That lost the game.
Okay. Well, you're right. That 50-yard pass didn't help its case. So I can't really disagree with you too much there.
War Eagle.
War Eagle, guys. And Tino out there, I'm sorry you lost your uncle. And you'll be in our prayers and thoughts. All right, go ahead, Trey.
No, I was going to say we're recruiting even smaller fans, Tarvin, and a brand new caller.
I'm looking for that 100-year-old caller now out there that can use the internet, that can use a cell phone to call in this show. So if anybody knows a 100-year-old caller, I'd like for them to call in. All right, Trey, next game, man, after the Bama game. Was it the West Virginia-Baylor game?
Yeah, I mean, Tarvin, I don't know if you didn't watch this game, was the most entertaining college football game I've seen in a really long time. Tarvin, did you get a chance to watch it?
I did, man. It was pathetic, honestly. I mean, looking at that game, I mean, I had, you know, we talked about West Virginia. We had them higher up in our list, but after that game, Trey, I had to drop them down. Did you drop them down in your list?
No, I mean, their defense has got problems, Tarvin, but, you know, what I see from West Virginia And just to put it in perspective, because I heard someone tell me in the, one of the message rooms, it says that, you know, Geno Smith is no longer a Heisman Trophy candidate. I had to laugh because I was, I mean, he set the single game record for completions of 45. He had 656 passing yards, 687 total yards of offense, and 8 touchdowns. I mean, Tarvin, if you can't put those numbers up in NCAA football, much less a real college football game. So, and he was, I watched the game, Tarvin, and I think I watched it for 25 minutes straight before I saw Geno Smith incompletion. I mean, this guy is amazing. So he is no doubt to me, Tarvin, the Heisman frontrunner by, I don't see anybody really close to him right now. And West Virginia, they got problems on defense, absolutely. But you can't give up the fact that Nick Florence, Tarvin, was like number 3 in the nation in passing himself for Baylor. So it wasn't as if, you know, West Virginia was playing a quarterback who can't do it. I mean, Nick Florence has been amazing this year for stepping in for RG3. So, you know, I give Nick Florence a lot of credit. I mean, he put up 581 yards himself. I mean, the receiver for Baylor had 314 yards. I mean, just ridiculous. So, not to mention the receiver for West Virginia who had 5 touchdowns. I mean,
wow.
Incredible, Tarvin.
Well, I have to agree. I think Geno Smith right now, head and shoulders, way out in front in this Heisman race, no doubt. But the one person, the only person that I think could catch him is the Black Mamba, DeAnthony Thomas from Oregon. If Geno looks human one day and loses a game or two and Oregon runs the table and he has some electrifying plays against, you know, Southern Cal and some other teams they'll be against, He might could catch him, Trey. That's the only person I think that could catch him.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, Carpenter. I think the number, you know, looking at records and that kind of thing, if you look at the teams that are going to get the national spotlight, I mean, there's some other guys who can get up there. I mean, if UGA were to win, like, say if UGA did, you know, ends up winning the SEC, you could see that their quarterback would obviously get a lot of publicity. So, I mean, there's some other scenarios that could play out, but, I mean, I don't think anybody's even close to Geno Smith right now. I mean, even if they lose a couple of games, Tarvin, as long as he doesn't throw 6 picks in a game, I don't even know. I think he's got, like, 9 more touchdowns and incompletions. I mean, his stats are incredible.
Well, that's their first conference game in the Big 12, and they just – I mean, that's amazing stats. And he will get a stage. He'll be playing Texas. He'll be playing Oklahoma. He'll be playing, I think, Kansas State. So there'll be some stages for him just to keep going. But after that performance, the yardage you just said, I mean, that's video game numbers. You can't even get that on a video game, the numbers he put up. So, I mean, the 8 touchdowns, 600-plus yards passing, almost 700 yards, I think, overall. So, I look at him, and I think that performance alone might just, like you said, it just might put it in the minds of the voters right now that, hey, he's it. He's the only one I've seen this year that could win it. So I'll be interested to see if anybody can come. It'll probably be like that Cam Newton year when he won it, just hands down, runaway. It could be that.
Yeah, I mean, their next game, Farman, is at Texas. So, I mean, it's not as if Geno Smith is not going to get, you know, that's going to be a publicized game. It's going to be on TV. So, I mean, he has another stage for it. I mean, their next – look at their games, Tarvin. It's Texas, Texas Tech, Kansas State, who's ranked. They got TCU, who's ranked. Oklahoma State, which will be a track meet. Oklahoma. I mean, they're going to go through games that are going to be on the TV. So, I'm just telling you, man, if he puts up any kind of numbers, he's going to be starting running away with his Heisman Trophy.
Oh, definitely. And I think you had him didn't you say that before the season started, that he would be a Heisman contender?
Yeah.
I think I did too. So, yep, I'm interested to see that. But Baylor's defense is trash. I have to admit that. I do want to see him, and I think he can. He can put up good numbers against anybody, but I have to see it against other teams besides Baylor, because I saw Louisiana Monroe make Baylor's defense look like trash too. So let's move on to the next game. Number one game, actually, Ohio State visited your Michigan State Spartans, one of your 60 teams you pulled for, Trey. Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, this game, I was impressed by the defense, at least. I mean, Braxton Miller was contained in this game, Tarvin, which, you know, I was, you know, this is a guy a lot of people are saying should be up in the Heisman Trophy list as well. And what I saw from him, Tarvin, you know, he was able to be contained. I mean, this guy, Braxton Miller is really good, Tarvin, but I don't know if we should start putting him in the Heisman Trophy list just yet. But, I mean, Michigan State did a pretty good job, and they contained Miller. But, again, this is just inconsistent quarterback play for Michigan State. And, you know, they just couldn't win the game when they needed to.
Yeah, and Ohio State, I thought they would win that game. I picked them to win. And the reason I picked them to win was Michigan State's inability to score points. And their defense is good, don't get me wrong. But their offense leaves a lot to be desired. I think Ohio State, if they would have lost that game, it would have made the Big Ten look even worse than it does now, which is very hard to do. So, great game, though. I mean, it was always a close game between these two. Ohio State, Trey, if they weren't on probation, where would you see them?
Well, I mean, right now they're going to be – they would be the Rose Bowl, you know, obviously, because they're going to – looks like they're going to win their conference. But, you know, I mean – the problem with Ohio State is they can't really run the ball outside of Braxton Miller. I mean, of course, Miller had 136 yards rushing, but, I mean, they really couldn't find a guy to hand the ball off to, and that would be a problem with any real team. I mean, the Big Ten is so down this year that I really can't judge what Ohio State can do. I mean, they'll play a couple games, Tarvin, and we'll get a chance to see if Ohio State, what they would be if they, you know, obviously they were on probation, but I haven't really seen them play anybody that obviously impresses me, Tarvin.
Michael just said something that we just said. He says they can't trade. They can't win the conference. They're ineligible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael, we know that. Thanks for letting us know, though, because Ohio State would win their conference if they weren't on probation, I think. I don't think anybody in that conference can touch them right now with Braxton. I just don't think a defense in the Big Ten is good enough to really stop them. So, man, we covered a lot of material tonight so far, and we're almost out of time. So, looking at the game right now, Philadelphia is up 13-10 on the Giants, almost into the third quarter. Giants are on the move on the side of the Eagles' field. So, interesting game. A little lower scoring than I thought, Trey.
Yeah, I kind of thought it would be a little bit of a track meet, too. But, you know, especially in the second half, I thought the adjustments would be more towards the offense. But really, the adjustments have been even more defensively. So, kind of a little bit shaking my head at the two offenses in this game.
Yeah, and next week, like I said, hopefully we'll be staff pick Wednesday night again. We got a lot of information to cover, a lot of great games to go over, and next weekend, Trey, could really, determine, you know, which teams are for real or not, and which teams are going to have to really pray that somebody else loses if they flip up, like Georgia or South Carolina game. We have LSU at Florida. I know it's not big to other people. Arkansas goes to Auburn. We'll see how much Auburn's improved over their bye week. Just a lot of great games out there this weekend, and I haven't looked at the NFL schedule yet, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of great games in that as well.
Yeah, Tarvin, I mean, before we leave, Tarvin, let me – going off the AP top five, what do you think they got it wrong?
Let me look at my AP top five real quick.
It's Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, LSU, and Georgia.
Well, I think, you know, the AP, I can't really say they got LSU wrong. I probably would put Georgia right now until they beat Florida above LSU. If LSU goes in the games and wins, I'm going to put LSU back up to number two where I had them before. That's how much I'm going to move them up. But I think Florida State needs to be up a little bit more, but looking at it, I really can't argue with it or disagree, Trey. It's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can move LSU probably a little lower. I mean, Georgia's, you know, looked a little bit more impressive than LSU has, and I still am more impressed with South Carolina on the field than LSU. So, you know, I could flip-flop and put LSU 5 and, you know, move Georgia and South Carolina up. I don't think I'd put, you know, Kansas State over LSU at this point. And I think an argument could be made that West Virginia should be moved up, but their defensive problems could definitely give voters some heartburn as well.
Well, Trey, I don't think Kansas State's a legitimate top five team anyway. I just don't see them actually taking that next step, even winning their conference. So my top five was Alabama, Florida State, Oregon, Georgia, and LSU. In that order. So I've dropped LSU down to 5. But like I said, if they beat Florida, they're going right back up to number 2, in my opinion, because they have to get better quarterback play. And that's just what I'm waiting to see, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, agree.
Michael Hogg in the chat room says K-State should be a top five team. I really just don't. I mean, they beat Miami very bad. They beat them worse than I've ever seen them get beat almost. Yeah. And so Wednesday night we'll be going. We'll be giving the results of the pick'em to see who won it. Right now we still have this game and another game to go. But Trey, any final thoughts before we go?
No, man. Looks like Quinn right now is leading everybody. Just so there. So there is somebody leading us again, Tarvin. But you know, still some games to be played.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us tonight. We had a large number of listeners tonight, and the chat room was doing a great job. And thanks for everybody for listening. And Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, make sure you listen and have a good week. See you, bye.